Mark, Luke, John, John chapter 15 this morning in the Word of God. I want to bring to your attention that in your bulletin you should have found a copy of the sermon outline that you'll be able to go along this morning and fill in the blanks, and this will be helpful for you. And so don't let the length of this scare you. I won't be preaching that long, all right? But you will be able to follow along, and I want to encourage you to do that this morning. Today I begin a new series of messages entitled, Jesus is Alive. And aren't you glad that He is? And so this morning we want to look at our first message in that regard in John chapter 15 and verse number 1, where Jesus says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Keep your place there. I'll be preaching a message this morning entitled, Jesus is our strength. Let's pray together. Father, I do thank you this morning for the power of your word, and thank you for the understanding that you can give to us as we listen to your word, as we look upon it. But help us this morning to not only listen, help us to have a spirit about us that says that we are willing to obey your word. So give us understanding, I pray, and help us to be more like the Lord Jesus. For it's in his name I pray, amen. You may be seated. How would you define the Christian life? If I were to just come down and sit beside you and you and I were to have a one-on-one, how would you answer that question? How would you define the Christian life? Some would define the Christian life as someone who keeps a list of do's and don'ts. I do this and I don't do this, so therefore I am a Christian. Some would define a Christian life by how they dress. They would say, I'm a Christian by just look at me, just look at how I dress. Surely this would define what a Christian is. Some would define a Christian as someone who talks a certain way. I talk like a Christian. I act like a Christian. Therefore, I am a Christian. But if you notice in all of those responses, the emphasis upon what you do. But here is the true definition, if you would, of how you could define a Christian or what a Christian life is all about, and that is simply Christ living through us. For the Bible teaches us this phrase, Christ in you. I have been going through the last couple of Sundays with the teenagers about the importance of DTR. How many of you outside the teenagers know what DTR stands for? Okay, it simply means define the relationship. And there are times in our life when it is good for us to define the relationship. Where are we in our relationship with the Lord? And can you say honestly this morning that Christ is in you? I trust that you can. And this truth is clearly seen in John chapter 15. If you have your Bibles there, you got them open following along, you will find that Jesus prepared his disciples for his death and departure in John chapter 14 through John chapter 17. They are on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus would pray and say, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And so along the journey, Jesus teaches them important lessons to help them in the future. And that's where we are here in John chapter 15. where we see the important truth of abiding in Christ. This is what he teaches from verse number 1 down through verse number 16. Abide in me, abide in me, abide in me. Because as we do, then we can understand that Jesus, for us as children of God, for those of us that are true believers, that Jesus is our strength. And so notice with me, if you would, first of all, this morning, we see that Jesus is the source of our strength. He is the source of our strength. Look, if you would, at verse number 1. Verse number 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. The vine is the source. Jesus said of himself here that he is the true vine. You will find in John chapter 1 and verse number 9 that he refers to himself as the true light. In John chapter 6 and verse number 32, Jesus refers to himself as the true bread. And so we find here in this context of Scripture that Jesus is the vine. He is the vine that is the source, and likened, if you would, as we see here with this grapevine, and how that many times in that day and even today we will have those who will just glean grapes, and the importance of having the grapevines, and how that a farmer would go through and at times tend to those vines because he wants more of what you see here. He wants a great crop of grapes. But it is important to understand that the vine is the source, that Jesus is the true vine, and that Jesus is the only source for the branch. There is no abiding or living without receiving life from the true vine. Let me repeat that. There is no abiding or living without receiving life from the true vine. Why? Because the true vine is Jesus. And if you are going to abide in him, if you're going to truly be spiritually alive, you've got to be in the vine. And you got to be one of those branches of the vine. And so Jesus clearly points here that he is the source. But notice also that the branch is the servant. Jesus says here in verse number 2, that every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So the question then is this: who is Jesus speaking to here in this passage? Well, you got to back up a little bit and go into John chapter 14, but you learn that Jesus is speaking primarily to his disciples. And he is then saying to them in John chapter 15 and verse number 2, that every branch in me, that the disciples are the branches in this context, and their identity is related to Jesus Christ. Now, I would remind you this morning that when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then the Bible relates to us that we are in Christ. The songwriter wrote, "You ask me how I know he lives," that is Jesus, "he lives within my heart." And so Jesus Christ, when we profess him and receive him as our personal Savior, though we may not feel it, though we may not have a great emotional experience, but by faith, Jesus Christ comes into your life. And the Bible relates to us that we then are in Christ. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, 18 times, the phraseology of in Christ is found there. He's just trying to hammer in the truth that as Christians, positionally speaking, we are in Christ. For me personally, as a 9-year-old boy, that's when I came to know that I was in Christ. Before that, I was not in him. But by faith, I received him as my personal Lord and Savior. And then the Bible says, now I am in Christ. And so we find in this passage of Scripture that the branch is the servant, and every branch in me. So let me ask you, are you in Christ today? Are you in him, and is he in you? is He your Savior? And so we find here the source of our strength is the true vine. Jesus is that source. But notice now in verse number 2 and verse number 3, we notice this, the sustaining of our strength. Not only is Jesus the source of our strength, but He continues to sustain us with strength. Notice verse 2 and verse 3. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So what is Jesus driving at in these two verses? We see in verse number 2 that He talks about this matter of purging. That there is the purging of the vine. There is the purging, if you would, of the branch, excuse me. And notice here that He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. Now, if you have done any kind of farming at all, or even gardening, you notice what Jesus is driving at. Why would you allow a branch to hang on? Let's say, Brother Joel can relate to this. You might have a nice-looking tree, but there's something odd about it, that this one tree doesn't have any leaves on it. It's dying. It's decaying. And so Joel doesn't just let that branch hang on. What does he do? He goes and he cuts it off. Because why? It's not bearing fruit any longer. And branches, in this context, Jesus is saying that there was at one time when they were bearing fruit, but now they're not. And so the farmer comes along, and what does he do? He takes away that branch. Because branches are by nature to bear fruit in the vine. And Jesus says here that every branch, though, that does bear fruit, He does something that would seem kind of unusual to do, but not really. He says that when this branch is bearing fruit, He comes along and He purges that branch. Now, the idea of purging means to cleanse or to prune trees and vines from useless shoots. And we find that this purging or trimming back is going to enable that branch to bear or to produce more fruit down the road. That's what you want. You don't want to just have a nice-looking plant. You don't want to have a nice-looking vine. You want to have something that is going to produce fruit. And so that farmer will come along and he will purge that branch at that particular time, because he says here in verse number 2 that it may bring forth more fruit. Then verse number 3 says this. He talks about this other aspect, and that is cleansing. Cleansing. So we have the purging, and then we have the cleansing. And Jesus says, you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So no, the Lord doesn't literally come alongside us and have some shears in His hand and cut off any broken branches in our life. But what He will do is that He will use His word that you are holding in your hand this morning, or that you are listening to right now. He will use His word to cleanse us. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Psalm 119 verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So the word of God cleanses us. Think about this. Every one of us have a brain. Every one of us think thoughts. But are every one of your thoughts pure and right? Probably not. I struggle with that, as you do struggle with that. So what helps us in the battle with that? The Word of God. That the more I take in the Word of God, the more I think upon the Word of God, the more I read the Word of God, the more I just keep taking it in, the Word of God, if you would, is like a cleansing agent. It is cleansing me. And the Word of God teaches us here in this passage in verse number 3 that we are now clean. We are now purged through what? We are clean. We are purged through the Word of God. And so we see in this passage of Scripture that there is this purging going on and that there is this cleansing going on. Why? Because the Father, who is the husbandman in our life, comes along and He wants us to bear fruit. And so He knows what it is going to take for us to bear more fruit. In fact, notice here in John 15, just for a moment, you will find in verse number 2, He talks about fruit, and then He talks about more fruit, and then in verse number 8, He talks about much fruit, and then in verse number 16, He talks about remaining fruit. You get the idea from our Lord's teaching that He wants us to be fruitful believers. And so in that respect then, He knows what to take us through to bring more fruit. How many of you would raise your hand and say, "Pastor, I like trials of life"? I didn't think anybody would raise your hand on that one. But how many would say this? "But I know that they are necessary to produce fruit in my life that couldn't be produced any other way." You know what I'm talking about now. There are certain kinds of fruit in our life that can only be produced as we go through some trials. Keep your place here and go with me to the book 1 Peter. 1 Peter, and notice now in 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And come with me now to verse number 3. Here's what the Word of God says. "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Now catch these next verses. "And beside this, giving all diligence," in other words, give yourself over to this. Add to your faith. Now look up just for a moment. It is important for us to have faith in Christ. Amen? It's important for us to have that. But if that's where you stop, then at best, and I say this kindly this morning, you are a baby Christian. The Lord doesn't want us, after many years of knowing the Lord as Savior, that we would remain a baby Christian. Right? He wants us to grow. He wants us to add some fruit. So He says, add to your faith. What? Verse 5. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, saved, praise God, that's a great place to be, but go on in that relationship. Because the Lord then will at times take us through things in our life that may be difficult, that may be challenging, but yet once we get through it and get on the other side, we begin to see the reasons why the Lord has taken us through it, and He wants to bear some fruit in our life that can only be produced at a time like that. I have seen this born out of my own life. I've also seen this born out in some of your lives, where you have gone through some times in your life where the Lord took you through some valleys. And at the time, quite frankly, you would say to me, "Pastor, I don't know why, but I do know that God has a purpose." And you are exactly right, because God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying His servants and molding us, He never moves on mistake. He has a purpose. And so as the husband, we go back to John 15, as the husbandman, the Father then will come alongside us and at times take us through purging and cleansing so that we can bear more fruit. But notice now, if you would, as we go back to the text, You'll notice in John 15 that Jesus uses the word in verse number 4, abide in me and I in you. And so we see this next point, and that is this, the stability of our strength. Not only is Jesus the source of our strength, not only then is he the sustaining of our strength, but he then also this morning is the one that gives us the stability. Where does that stability come through? You notice again in verse number 4 where he talks about abiding. Abide in me and I in you. Abiding, first of all, this morning, church, brings stability into your life. Now again, we don't talk this way today as the Bible uses the word here. We don't go around and talk about abide. It's not in our, if you would, our normal everyday conversation, right? I mean, when was the last time you used that word? I don't know. Now, if you get to talking in spiritual terms and language, then you would most often use that word because it is a word that Jesus uses here. But what is he driving at? What's he really trying to underscore in our thinking? Abide in me and I in you. Let me give you a quick definition. The word abide means simply to remain. What's he talking about? The branches, the vine, being connected. Remain in me and I will remain in you. And he says here that as you do this, this will bring stability. Warren Wiersbe said, and I quote, what does it mean to abide? It means to keep in fellowship with Christ so that his life can work in and through us to produce fruit. So I abide in fellowship with him. This is something that is daily. This isn't something that I just do Sunday and then come back the next Sunday and do it all over again. No, it is something that we do every day, that we fellowship, we have communication. It's just like in a marriage. If you're going to have a good marriage, by the way, Claire and Arlene Jewell just celebrated 64 years of marriage. Let's give them a hand this morning, all right? Now, I'll tell you something about 64 years of marriage. They've learned to communicate, right? Yes. And I know sometimes couples think, well, here's how we communicate, she says, and I do. That's not communication, all right? In a good marriage, there is communication. Sometimes a favorite phrase in a marriage is, yes, dear, yes, dear. You know, we don't want to get too far off on that beaten path, but I think about how that if you're going to have 64 years of marriage, then sure, they could tell you this morning they've had their ups, they've had their downs. They're going through some of those down moments right now, just physically. They've had their challenges. But I'll tell you what, if you spend time with them, you know that they are still madly in love with each other. They enjoy time with each other. And by the way, she makes, and I think this has got to be the key for the 64 years of marriage, she makes a mean banana cream pie. That's it. That's the secret to 64 years. But I'm telling you, they, if you would, they abide. They fellowship. They remain. They don't, if you would, look for an out. They stay through the thick and through the thin. And in our relationship with the Lord, to remain means to just keep in fellowship with Jesus. So let me ask you, how's your fellowship with the Lord this morning? The Bible says this in 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. How's your fellowship with the Lord? It's important that we have good communion with him, that we spend time daily with him. So here is what I want you to notice. How is it that we abide in Christ? He tells us, abide in me. Okay, I've given you a definition of it, but how is it that we abide in him? Three things. First of all, we must be secure in his salvation. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, what is the Bible saying here? That the day you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, it is truly one and done. Follow carefully the Bible teaching that when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, when you receive him as your Savior, when you realize that he died for you, that he shed his blood for you, that he rose again, and you put your faith in him and cry out and say, Lord, save me, what does he do? Well, one, he saves you, but two, he seals you with that Holy Spirit of promise. What does that mean? That means the Holy Spirit of God comes into your life. And Jesus taught us in John that the Holy Spirit will abide with you forever. So the Holy Spirit of God, whom I cannot see, but by faith I know he is in my life. He came into my life. He sealed me with that Holy Spirit of promise. Look at the next verse now, verse 14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption, the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. So the Holy Spirit is that down payment. You know what a down payment is. You'll buy something, and whoever you buy it from is going to ask for a down payment. You buy a car, they want a down payment. And so the Holy Spirit of the living God dwelling in us is our down payment, and he is the one that, if you would, secures us in our salvation. I trust that makes sense, but we abide in Christ by being secure in his salvation. Secondly, by remaining in his love. Look now in John 15 and verse number 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. When was the last time you just thought about how much God loves you? When was the last time that you just paused and said, Lord, I love you? This week, I have, on purpose, in my Bible reading, I have just taken time to go, and I'm in the Gospel of Mark right now, and I just this week took time to read the lead-up to the crucifixion of Christ. I've been thinking about the crucifixion of Christ, and I've been thinking about all that he went through, and if you read that in the Word of God, and you can walk away and say, you know, the Lord just doesn't love me, you don't get it. Because there is no greater love for someone to lay down their life for you. He does love you. Why did he go through the torture at the hands of sinful men? Just to be a martyr? No. He did it because he loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But God commendeth or shown forth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So it is good for us to remain in his love. And then there is another way that we abide in Christ, and that is by remaining under his leading. Remaining under his leading, the Bible says in Romans 8 and verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be it the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And so we have to obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so we abide, and as we abide, it brings forth fruit. But notice, if you would, in verse number 5, that we see abiding brings fruit. It brings stability, it brings fruit. Verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. So our union with Christ is a living union. so we may bear fruit. This is not our fruit. It is fruit that comes by abiding in the vine. I believe these verses are in your notes, but 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 7, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but that God giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. So the fruit comes from abiding in Christ. It comes through abiding in the vine. And abiding brings fruit. Now listen carefully, church. Not every Christian in this congregation this morning will bear fruit in the same way or at the same rate. But every Christian should be bearing some fruit. One of the questions I've often dealt with over my years of pastoring is this question. Pastor, how do I know I'm saved? I think I am, but how do I know that I am saved? Well, let me just say this. If that's even a question you're entertaining this morning, one, it's always best to just see, does it stack up, does your experience stack up with the Word of God? But having said that, one of the things that I try to help someone with, and I answer that question, is this. Are you seeing any fruit in your life? And I'll define it even more. One, do you see any fruit of the Holy Spirit of God in your life? Well, what's that? Galatians 5, 22, 23 says, love, joy, peace, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Do I see love in my life? Do I see peace in my life? Do I see meekness in my life? Do I see any of the fruit of the Spirit in my life? If I do, then that is a good indicator that I am saved, that I know the Lord is my Savior. I am seeing that fruit coming out of my life. Because it can't be there apart from the Holy Spirit of God. There needs to be the fruit of the Spirit. Then there needs to be the fruit of souls. The Bible teaches us in John 15. You have it there? John 15, verse number 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And so what a joy it is to be used of the Lord to point someone else to Jesus, to tell them how that they can be saved and how their sins can be forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is then to be used of God to point someone else to heaven. You see, outside the walls of this building this morning are millions and millions and millions of people who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. They're not going to, if you would, just stumble upon Him by accident. God's plan is to use me, to use you. Oh no, I'm not saying we're going to reach the millions. But there is one that you can reach. There is someone in your family. There is someone at your workplace. There is your neighbor. There is someone that you can reach for the Lord. And this is another kind of fruit that the Lord wants to bring forth in your life. As I said, not every Christian will bear fruit in the same way. There are some Christians I have known through the years that are very, very bold witnesses for the Lord. I have shared with you about one of our missionaries. All our missionaries are soul winners, but there is one that just stands out. He serves in Cambodia, and this man, wherever he goes, he just talks to people. He always has tracts in his pocket, and he's just, here, let me give this to you. And he not only gives it to him, but he says, here, do you know for sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven? And he does it in a very kind way, but yet he's just very burdened to see people saved. Now, I tell you, that's how Tom Johnson does it. But, you know, I'm not Tom Johnson. Neither are you. But God has made you specifically to do exactly what Tom Johnson is doing, though, and that is to tell others of the Lord Jesus Christ. We may not do it like Tom Johnson, but we have been committed the same charge to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. This is the kind of fruit that the Lord wants to produce in your life. And so I would ask you, is there a trail of people in your life? If someone was going to do a biography of your life, would they be able to come to that part of your life and say, man, look at the people that so-and-so influenced toward heaven? Could they write some testimonies in your biography that would say, here is an example of this, and here is another example of this? In other words, is there a trail of people that you have influenced toward heaven? The fruit of abiding in Christ. Now I want you to look at verse 5 and we'll wrap this up. But let me make this statement before I read it. We never produce fruit or stay strong without Christ. Look at verse 5. In fact, just go to the end of the verse. For without me ye can do, what's it say, church? Nothing. Do you believe that? I'll shake my head, yes, I believe that. But would you agree with me this morning that there are many, many times in your life as a Christian where though while you read that and you know that, but how many times in our Christian life do we set out to go about it on our own way? I raise my hand. I say I'm guilty to that. And yet, the Lord says, without me, without abiding in me, without staying in fellowship with me, without remaining in me, you can do nothing. Zero. You can't do anything. The late preacher Charles Spurgeon said this, without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as ships without the wind, branches without sap, and like coals without fire, we are useless. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things. Many times we stop right there. We're trying to give people a pep talk. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. And they walk away. Yeah, I can do it. And only fail. Why? Because we didn't finish the rest of the verse. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Jesus is your strength. He is the source. He is the stability. He is the one that sustains you. And he this morning is the source. He is that strength for your life. So I ask you this morning, as you think about the ending of verse number 5, would you think about, am I guilty of living my Christian life independent of the Lord? Now you may not go about and say that in those words necessarily, but just look at your Christian life. And how many times do you set out to, well, I'm going to pray more. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to give more. I'm going to do this. All good things to do, but only be met with frustration and sometimes failure. And the Lord, if you would, like hits you between the eyes and says, you're doing it in your own strength. That's why you're failing. He's saying, I want you to remain in me, abide in me. That's where the strength lies. So whose strength are you relying on today? Yours or his? Let's pray together. Father, this morning, I thank you for this teaching of the Lord Jesus, to see him as our strength, to see the importance of remaining in fellowship with him on a daily basis, and to see where the fruit comes from. I know sometimes, probably more than we care to think about, that we meet with failure, we meet with frustration, sometimes even with good intentions, but We so rely on our strength. We so rely on ourself. I'm going to be a better Christian. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And Jesus just hits us in the face with his word this morning, without me, you can do nothing. And so help us to humble ourselves before you. Teach us to learn to walk in humility and rely upon the Lord to be our strength, so that we can see fruit and more fruit and much fruit and remaining fruit. And so challenge us in this area. Help us. We need your help. Because again, without you, we can't do it. As we heard this morning in song, without me, ye can do nothing. Without him, I can do nothing. And so drive that home to our hearts. And for those that know not Jesus, help them today to come to the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Help them to realize that he is what is missing in their life. And he today stands ready to save them if they will cry out, Lord, save me. So help them today. Give them understanding of their need. In Jesus' name I pray. Now with their heads bowed. Now I wonder this morning, there'll be those here who say, Pastor, I do not know Jesus is my Savior. I do not know this morning that if I died, I'd go to heaven. But this morning, I am concerned about my soul. I'm concerned about where I would spend all of my eternity. And today, I would like to know what it is to know Jesus as my personal Savior. Would you remember me in prayer this morning, Pastor? If that's your need, would you lift your hand up right where you're at? Anybody at all while we wait? Say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. But I would like to know. Would you just slip your hand up? I'll acknowledge you and put it right back down. Anybody at all while we wait? So yes, Pastor, that's my need. Anybody at all? I wonder this morning, there'd be those here and say, Pastor, praise God, I know I'm saved. I don't have any doubts about that. But this morning in my life, I can see why lately I'm frustrated in my Christian life, because I'm relying on my own strength to do it. And today I want to just humble myself before the Lord and this week live more in a spirit of humility before him and rely more and more upon him and his strength to live out the Christian life. That's my need. I'm tired of trying to do this on my own. I need to do an exchange today. My strength for his. If that's where you're at this morning, would you lift your hand up, wrap your hand, say, yes, Pastor, remember me in prayer today, that I would rely more and more, living this Christian life, more and more upon the Lord than trying to live it out on my own. Anybody at all, while we wait, just lift your hand up. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Are there others? Are there others? Yes, God bless you. Are there others while we wait? Anybody else? So that's right where I'm at, Pastor. I'm tired of trying to live it out on my own. Today I want to just make this a starting point where I begin to live more and more in reliance upon the Lord. Are there others while we wait? Just lift your hand up. I'll acknowledge you. Put it right back down. Anybody at all while we wait? And now, Father, I thank you that Jesus is the source of our strength. How foolish we are at times when we go about trying to live out this Christian life on our own and our own strength. You've told us we can through Christ. So help us to get that great connection. And this week, rely more and more upon the power of Christ and allow him to live out his life through us. And then we'll be able to see that kind of fruit that glorifies you. So help people now, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.